The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, making this today's presentation on the 18th day of June 2020. And coming up Tuesday, I'm going to have Harley Schlanger on for 2 hours. 2 hours. He said if he wasn't too tired, I told him to rest up. Any rate, back to the police and qualified immunity. Indeed, as Reuters reports, qualified immunity has become nearly a fail-safe tool to let police brutality go unpunished and deny victims their constitutional rights. Worse, as Reuters concluded, the Supreme Court has built qualified immunity into an often insurmountable police defense by intervening in cases mostly to favor the police. The system is rigged. Police can claim qualified immunity for warrantless searches. In Anderson v. Crichton, the Supreme Court ruled that the FBI and state law enforcement agents were entitled to qualified immunity protections after they were sued for raiding a private home without a warrant and holding family members at gunpoint, all in a search for suspected bank robber who wasn't in the house. Police can claim qualified immunity for warrantless arrests based on mere suspicion. In Hunter v. Bryant, the court ruled that police acted reasonably in arresting James Bryant without a warrant in order to protect the president. Now, Bryant had allegedly written a letter that referenced a third-party plot to assassinate President Ronald Reagan. But in this case, folks, the police had absolutely no proof that he intended to harm Reagan beyond a mere suspicion. The charges against Bryant were eventually dropped. Police can claim qualified immunity for using excessive force against protesters. In Saussure v. Katz, the court ruled in favor of the federal law enforcement agents who forcibly tackled a protester as he attempted to unfurl a banner at Vice President Gore's political rally. The court reasoned that the officers there acted reasonably given the urgency of protecting the vice president. Police can claim qualified immunity for shooting a fleeing suspect in the back. Brasseur v. Haugen, that's H-A-U-G-E-N, the court dismissed a lawsuit against a police officer who shot Kenneth Haugen in the back as he entered his car in order to flee from the cops. The court ruled that in light of the existing case law, the cops' conduct fell in the hazy border between excessive and acceptable force. And so the officer did not violate clearly the established law. Well, okay, first question. Did he have any weapons? He was trying to get the hell away from you, and then you shot him in the back. Did you see a weapon? Was it pulled on you? Were you threatened with a weapon? It doesn't indicate any of that here in this case. So in order for the, what are we, Canadian Mounties now? We always get our man, whether it's right or wrong. We'll bring him in handcuffed, breathing, or we'll just bring him in with a toe tag. Doesn't matter. We got our guy. Police can claim qualified immunity for shooting a mentally impaired person. In the City of San Francisco versus Sheehan, the court ruled in favor of police who repeatedly shot Teresa Sheehan during the course of a mental health welfare check. The court ruled that it was not unreasonable for police to pepper spray and shoot Sheehan multiple times after entering her room without a warrant and encountering her holding a knife. Now, folks, I don't mean to make light of this, but you ever heard the old axiom there? You're stupid if you bring a knife to a gunfight? And if I got a gun and you got a knife, whether you're flat out of your flipping mind, you might want to try to attack the cops with a knife. But see, knife fighting is close quarter stuff. So if somebody's approaching me with a knife, I keep a distance, I keep warning them, drop that weapon. And I'm a good enough shot that I can hit them below the torso, okay? I can take out their legs, their knees, whatever. I don't need to double tap them in their head. I don't need to put multiple, I have an adrenaline rush and I was in danger, that's why you see 23 holes in the corpse. A lot of this stuff is mindless BS, folks. Trying to split hairs. How many cases have you seen? What was the one we reported on last year? Where the cops ran up on a house proclaiming that it was drug dealer from a, okay, from a confidential informant, okay? The guys wouldn't squeeze, you haven't given me anything, I think I'm going to turn you back over to the prosecutor, you're going to go to jail. Hell, they'll make up anything. So what did they do? They ran up on this house, they killed the wife, they killed the dog, they killed the husband, they killed everybody. And then turned around and lied about it all. Have you heard of what has happened to those cops in this case? Where they're caught dead to rights, and then they get together and have a kumbaya, let's all lie together moment. Where's the punishment for that? Police officers can use lethal force in car chases without fear of lawsuit. And folks, this question has been brought up over and over to the point ad nauseum over the years. High-speed police pursuit. What are they pursuing the guy for? Hell, they don't. Is this a bank robber? Is this a known bank robber? It might be. But chances are they don't even know. They attempt to pull somebody over and they flee. I don't know, maybe they got a joint in their ashtray. Okay, maybe they do have an outstanding warrant that didn't have the money to pay. I don't know. But these are not reasons to go on the hunt and put innumerable other citizens because the cops got to get their guy. How many people have died in these high-speed chase pursuits that had nothing to do? But the ordinary John Q. citizen kind of got in the way and, well, ended up dead because the cops have got to get their man. For what reason? Why were you endangering everybody's lives in the pursuit of this individual? Because he didn't want to stop for a traffic violation? Now, there's some good sense thinking there. If he's a known bad guy, that's one thing. But it's because somebody didn't want to take the time out of their day to stop for your revenueing butt, and they decide, I'm out of here. Then it becomes everything that happens past that point is the fault of the individual that didn't stop. And folks, I don't make it a habit of running around breaking the law. But if I look up in a rearview mirror and I see the red and blue light boys in my rearview mirror, I don't think to myself, gee, they're on the job and I'm safe. As I was saying, police officers can use lethal force in car chases without fear of lawsuits. In Plumhoff versus Rickard, the U.S. Supreme Court declared that police officers who used deadly force to terminate a car chase were immune from lawsuit. The officers were accused of needlessly resorting to deadly force by shooting multiple times at a man and his passenger in a stopped car. By the way, the two occupants of the vehicle in question, both dead. Police can stop and arrest and search citizens without reasonable suspicion or probable cause. In a 5-3 ruling in Utah versus Streif, the U.S. Supreme Court effectively gave police the go-ahead to embark on fishing expeditions of one person and property, rendering Americans completely vulnerable to the whims of any cop on the beat. There used to be PC, folks, and that didn't stand for political correctness. That stood for probable cause. And I can remember as a kid these guys violating that tenet. I remember getting pulled over one night, the cop standing there with a straight face telling me, well, I match the description of a bank robber. It was night. You didn't see my face. You didn't get a plate number. You didn't get anything, and you're pulling me over under the what excuse? That I might have robbed a bank? I looked at him and I said, you might have raped my wife for all I know, and I just haven't found out about yet. Does that sound fair to you? In other words, lying with impunity. And then if pressed, they get the immunity. Police officers can stop cars based on anonymous tips for suspicious behavior, such as having a reclined car seat or driving too carefully. In a 5-4 ruling in Narivett versus California, the U.S. Supreme Court declared that police officers, under the guise of reasonable suspicion, can stop cars and question drivers based solely on anonymous tips, no matter how dubious and whether or not they themselves witnessed any troubling behavior. Then in State versus Howard, the Kansas Supreme Court declared that motorists who recline their car seats are guilty of suspicious behavior and can be subject to warrantless searches by police. That ruling, coupled with other court rulings upholding warrantless searches and seizures by police, renders one's car a constitution-free zone. Americans have no protection against mandatory breathalyzer tests at a police checkpoint. I love this one. This is the first thing I ran into when I came down to Texas. I-35 was backed up for 40 miles. And this was a joint FBI, local law enforcement, county. They were all out there setting up checkpoints under the guise, get this, of securing stolen construction equipment. Huh? So I'm with my 60s hippie girlfriend or wife in my Beetle. I'm sorry, do you think I have a bulldozer stashed in my glove compartment? Americans have no protection against mandatory breathalyzer tests at a police checkpoint. Although mandatory blood draws violate the Fourth Amendment, police can also conduct sobriety and information-seeking checkpoints. We call that phishing where I come from. Police can forcibly take your DNA, whether or not you've been convicted of a crime or not. And folks, you bet your bippy, you bet your bottom dollar on this one, that all the stuff they're doing with the COVID-19 and all this other stuff, trust me, they're building databases. They're building DNA databases right from the hospital. You might have only taken 50 breaths in your life, but there they are, to categorize you and, well, get you into the book, so to speak. In Maryland versus King, a divided U.S. Supreme Court determined that a person arrested for a crime who's supposed to be presumed innocent until proven guilty must submit to forcible extraction of their DNA. Once again, the court sided with the guardians of the police state over the defenders of individual liberty in determining that DNA samples may be extracted from people arrested for serious offenses. And the end result of the ruling paves the way for a nationwide dragnet of suspects targeted via DNA sampling. People can use the fear for my life. Oh, this is one of my favorite ones. You know, if you fear for your life, go to work in an amusement park as a ride operator, okay? Get a job at Walmart as a greeter, okay? Do something that in no way, shape, or form is it ever going to put you in danger, so you might have to make a decision here. Police can use the fear for my life rationale as an excuse for shooting unarmed individuals. Upon arriving on the scene of a nighttime traffic accident, an Alabama police officer shot a driver exiting his car, mistakenly believing the wall in his hand to be a gun. A report by the Justice Department found that half of the unarmed people shot by one police department over a 7-year span were shot because the officer saw something like a cell phone or some action like a person pulling at the waist of their pants and misidentified it as a threat. One of my favorites is, folks, remember the old guy? He was in a pickup truck. He's getting out of his car and he reaches in the back of the in the bed of the pickup truck to get his cane. And the stupid-ass cop thought it was a gun and shot and killed him. Remember that one? Oh, hey, I'm a qualified, and I deserve immunity because I can't tell the difference between a damn cane and a gun. Do you think there might be some legitimate cause for concern here? I would think so. But they're so hyped up. They've got them so hyped up with fear for your life. Trust no one. You see a move, don't worry. We'll cover your butt. And besides, you got qualified immunity. You don't have the judgment to be handing out parking tickets, let alone force continuum on the side of the road and killing people, because you can't tell the damn difference between a cane and a rifle. Here's another one of my favorites. Police have free rein to use drug-sniffing dogs as search warrants on leashes. And trust me on this one, folks. There's cops out there that will signal the dog to signal positively. These canine police officers will now, they've been exalted to the level of just an ordinary bipedal human being. Yeah, they're considered police officers too. Shoot one of them, cause harm to one of them, it's like shooting a cop. In Florida versus Harris, a unanimous U.S. Supreme Court determined that police officers may use highly unreliable drug-sniffing dogs to conduct warrantless searches of cars during routine traffic stops. The ruling turns man's best friend into an extension of the police state, providing the use of a canine unit takes place within a reasonable amount of time. Not only are police largely protected by qualified immunity, but police dogs are also off the hook for wrongdoing. The Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled in favor of a police officer who allowed a police dog to maul a homeless man innocent of any wrongdoing whatsoever. And this isn't your little Fluffy or Fido, your next-door neighbor's dog that, you know, you can look at him and tell him no, okay? These dogs, once signaled, they go after the said perp, and there's no bringing these dogs back unless you go in to physically restrain them. And try doing that when these dogs got it in their head that they've got a maul what's curled up in a fetal position right in front of them. And I've seen a lot of videos that the handler of these dogs are having a hell of a time trying to get control of them. So we're talking about a police officer on 4 feet with a brain the size of a wallaby. And they're being treated as if they're police officers that evidently nobody's got control over. You think there might be a little fear in the citizens with seeing this canine with fangs bared? Yeah, I think that might put a little fear into you. All right, how many callers I got there, Mike? None? Good. Because I'm not done with this. All right.
Learning to fly around the clouds. What goes up must come down.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Favorite as well. Police can subject Americans to strip searches no matter the offense. And I remember seeing a video of a male making a female strip, and he was doing cavity searches of her along the roadside. Wow. A divided U.S. Supreme Court actually prioritized making life easier for overworked jail officials over the basic right of Americans to be free from debasing strip searches. In its 5-4 ruling in Florence v. Burlington, the court declared that any person who is arrested and processed at a jailhouse, regardless of the severity of his or her offense, that is, they can be guilty of nothing more than a minor traffic offense, which I still, to this day, maintain the corporate coffer Keystone Cops are revenuing out there over this driver's license issue, that they don't have to throw you in jail because it's a civil infraction, ladies and gentlemen. It is not a criminal offense. They can be subjected to strip search by police or jail officials, which involves exposing your genitals and your buttocks. This license to probe is now being extended to roadside stops, as police officers throughout the country have begun performing roadside strip searches, some involving anal and vaginal probes, without any evidence of wrongdoing and without a warrant. Police can break into homes without a warrant, even if it's the wrong home. In an 8-1 ruling in Kentucky v. King, the U.S. Supreme Court placed their trust in the discretion of police officers rather than in the dictates of the Constitution when they gave police greater leeway to break into homes or apartments without a warrant. Despite the fact that the police in question ended up pursuing the wrong suspect, invaded the wrong apartment, and violated just about every tenet that stands between us and a police state, the court sanctioned the warrantless raid, leaving Americans with little real protection in the face of all manner of abuses by police. Police can use knock-and-talk tactics as a means of sidestepping the Fourth Amendment. Aggressive knock-and-talk practices have become thinly veiled warrantless exercises by which citizens are coerced and intimidated into talking with heavily armed police who knock on their doors in the middle of the night. Andrew Scott didn't even get a chance to say no to such a heavy-handed request before he was gunned down by police who pounded aggressively on the wrong door at 1:30 in the morning, failed to identify themselves as police, and then repeatedly shot and killed the man when he answered the door while holding a gun in self-defense. I can see 92 different ways from Sunday where that was wrong, but not to the Supreme Court, siding with the police state. Police can carry out no-knock raids if they believe announcing themselves would be dangerous. Pretzel logic here. Police can perform a no-knock raid as long as they have reasonable suspicion that knocking and announcing their presence under particular circumstances would be dangerous or futile, or give occupants a chance to destroy evidence of a crime. That was Richards versus Wisconsin. Legal ownership of a firearm is also enough to justify a no-knock raid by police. Quinn versus Texas. For instance, a Texas man had his home subject to a no-knock SWAT team-style raid, forceful entry, and raid based solely on the suspicion that there were legally owned firearms in his household. The homeowner was actually shot by police through his closed bedroom door. Got a gun? Doesn't matter. We'll just shoot through the door and kill you. It doesn't matter to us. We're the police, and we're here to protect you. Police can recklessly open fire on anybody that might be armed. Philando Castile was shot and killed during a routine traffic stop, allegedly over a broken taillight, merely for telling police he had a concealed carry permit. That's all it took for police to shoot Castile 4 times in the presence of his girlfriend and her 4-year-old daughter. A unanimous Supreme Court declared in County of Los Angeles versus Mendez that police should not be held liable for recklessly firing 15 times into a shack where a homeless couple had been sleeping because he grabbed his BB gun in defense, fearing that they were being attacked. A BB gun, folks. BB gun to a gunfight. Police can destroy a home during a SWAT raid, even if the owner gives their consent to enter and search it. They love to do this. They call it tossing the joint. In West versus Winfield, the Supreme Court provided cover to police as they smashed the windows of Shanette's West home, punched holes in her walls and ceilings, and bombed the house with so much tear gas it was uninhabitable for 2 months. Now, all of this despite the fact that the suspect they were pursuing wasn't even in the house, and West, the homeowner, agreed to allow police to search the home to confirm that. So they go in and they destroy the interior of the home, looking for a suspect that wasn't there. Well, they need qualified immunity. We're the good guys, and every once in a while, we make a few mistakes, but by and large, we come in on a white steed. With our documents in hand, qualified immunity. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Oh. Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, what the hell is in this stuff? This is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Now we're rolling around with something that has been fresh in everybody's mind. Police can suffocate someone deliberately or inadvertently in the process of subduing them. "I Can't Breathe" has become a rallying cry following the deaths of Eric Garner and George Floyd, both of whom died after being placed in a chokehold by police. Dozens more have died in similar circumstance at the hands of police who have faced little repercussions for these deaths. Thanks to our Israeli brethren over there for the special weapons and tactics, barging in people's houses, shooting everybody, chokeholds, and a sundry of different police tactics that have been adopted across the USA. As I make clear in my book, Battlefield America, The War on the American People, we are dealing with a nationwide epidemic of court-sanctioned police violence carried out with impunity against individuals posing little or no real threat. So what's the answer to reforming a system that's clearly self-serving and corrupt? Abolishing the police is not the answer. No, I put forth my own conclusion there. Yeah, we need to get rid of all the police departments in this country and make them sheriff's deputies, the ones who are accountable, really accountable to the people. How can you have a chief of police that's not elected by the people running a police department with qualified immunity, force continuum up and to including death? That's right. From an unelected whatever he is, four-star general or whatever they want to pin on his uniform. Abolishing the police is not the answer. That will inevitably lead to outright anarchy, which will give the police state and those law and order zealots all the incentives it needs to declare martial law. Looting and violence isn't the answer. Even Martin Luther King Jr. recognized a riot merely intensifies the fear of the white community while relieving the guilt. Using the looting and rioting as justification for supporting police brutality is also not the answer. As King recognized, it's not enough to condemn riots without at the same time condemning the contingent, intolerable conditions that exist in our society. Well, that is up for debate. These conditions are the things that cause individuals to feel that they have no other alternative than to engage in violent rebellions to get attention. And I must say tonight that a riot is the language of the unheard, and that it is America has failed to hear. It has failed to hear that the plight of the Negro poor has worsened over the last 12 or 15 years. It's failed to hear that the promise of freedom and justice have not been met. And it's failed to hear that large segments of the white society are more concerned about tranquility and the status quo than about justice and humanity. I got a couple of points about this that I don't quite appreciate, but in the last 12, 15 years, no, the inner cities have been going and growing nothing but the culturally deficient, the unengaged, the criminal, the crack dealer, the pimp, the hoe. Give it, I don't care what it is. There's no education, no amount of money can be pumped into schools when you don't have students in the seats that are willing to learn. It's a wasted effort. Where are the black leaders in the inner cities all across the United States out in the street going, wait a minute, you want everybody else to be accountable? How about it being accountable for yourself? If you're claiming black lives matter so much, why does your life not matter too much to you? Oh, there's one of those ugly questions. It must be rooted in racism. No, it's the observance of a lot of people that are afraid to speak it. So now we're going to do police reform. We're going to do all this crap. Give me a break. Police reform is necessary and unavoidable if we're to have any hope of living in an America which freedom means something more than the right to stay alive, okay? But how we reform the system is just as important as getting it done. We don't need to wait for 9 members of a ruling aristocracy who primarily come from privileged backgrounds themselves, who have a vested interest in maintaining the status quo, to fix what's broken in America. Nor do we need to wait for 535 highly paid politicians to do something about these injustices only when it suits their political ambitions. And we certainly don't need to wait for a president with a taste for totalitarian tactics to throw a few crumbs our way. This is much a local problem as a national one. Be fair, be nonviolent, be relentless in your pursuit of justice for all, and let's just get it done. Well, they're going to get it done armed up with their lawyers, Mr. Whitehead. They are certainly going to do that. And they're not going to roll back any of these measures, these constitutional violating measures. They're not going to do that. You're going to have to fight tooth and nail on every little detail, iota, every case, every action taken by police, as well as their intended victim, or as they like to put it, suspect. Folks, remember you didn't, how many years ago can you remember when you didn't hear of police shooting quote-unquote suspects in the back, killing them on the spot? This is a new phenomenon that once people saw it, they went, well, they must have a reason for doing that. Oof. Mikey, let's go to John in California here. Hello, John in California.
Hello, John. It's a good topic. It makes my blood boil. We're talking about what the police, some police have done. It's never reported. Now, a lot of them have got to be white. I know some Hispanic. I don't know whether any of those never reported that are black, that were, trying to defend themselves or something. I don't know, besides the criminal intent. But it's just really maddening.
John, I heard some statistics the other day. We have 800,000 badged police officers of county sheriffs, police departments, and people of authority. They had 50 million contacts last year with the public. Out of that, it is said that 50 people died. Now, the way the numbers all break down was that there was one death for every 1 million encounters. Now, I don't exactly put that on the front burner, the house is going to burn down, we better do something about this. But all of this stuff is being hyped, and all of it's being brought to the public's attention through this controlled media that they set the narrative, they're setting what they're reporting for the outcome that they're reporting, so you get the opinion that they want you to have. In other words, they're peddling their perception of your reality.
Well, yeah, like I said, you got these cops, you know, they break in the doors, whether the guy's got gun trying to protect them, or they just break in the door, shoot the first person they see there. And, you know, these guys are armed. They're covered with everything, protect them. You know, why do they have to be like that? You know, just like a policeman, but you see them in some of these riots and that, you see them less armed or less protected than you see those going with their, you know, a dozen of them against one person. I don't understand that, but that's the way it's been set up.
But, John, the one thing I never understood is why these police departments allowed Antifa, and they're easily and very easily identified and recognized, and the cops were either told to stand down or it was a decision by the commander on the ground not to interfere while they're standing there watching crimes committed right before their very eyes. There's a difference between looters and rioters and demonstrators, and they're unwilling to make that distinction. They're unwilling to go in after the lawbreakers for fear of doing what? Inflaming the other rioters? Because the peaceful protesters are the ones who are going to say, you know, we don't want our protests spoiled by this violence. They're the ones that are all in favor of the criminals being witnessed by police, being arrested and hauled off. But then, as we've seen, because this has all been based on race, we've seen politician after politician in this country order these people's release, known criminals witnessed by police to be let out of jail. I wouldn't want to be a cop in this country at this period of time, because I don't know whether to crap go blind, wind my wristwatch, or just hand in my resignation.
No, I agree with you on that, John. Yeah, they're, like you said, these politicians, you know, they get in the way with that, and you're right. As a good cop, what am I to do? You know, like I said, stand down or what? They ought to make it, get the poly, just say, you come up to these protesters, okay, look, you want to clear this out, get your chance, you leave now, you don't, we're going to clear you out in whatever way we have to do it. And if they have these people other than T don't want to listen, they're going to get themselves sucked up in that too.
Well, John, just so you know this, it is starting to materialize where Antifa has gone to the UN to ask for intervention in free zones here in this country. What you just saw created out in Seattle, this is going to happen more and more across the United States. The UN will be invited in under the guise of humanitarian purposes and blah, blah, blah. You watch what happens here. The communist inviting the communist organization to come in and take control.
Yeah, that's what will happen. Unless enough people say no.
Well, trust me, over the years, John, the people have told me no. They're the straw that's going to break their camel's back is once they see the UN blue beanies or helmeted ones on the street corners of America, then all bets are off. So let them come. Let them come. It was asked just today, I was following a meme and a blog, And it was asking the question here, well, okay, why doesn't Donald Trump start defunding the UN? And nobody has ever answered to anybody's satisfaction when the question is posed, it is never answered. Why is it that the head, the Secretary General of the United Nations, has always been a damn communist? John, I thank you for your call, sir.
Thank you, Jim. Take care.
J.R. in Georgia. Hello, J.R. How are you?
Good evening, John. You're spot on about what's happening with our police officers that we have on the streets today. Unfortunately, I had an incident about 15, 16 years ago with a family member. And because of my lifestyle that I lived and when I was a young man, I had many occasions of meeting those men in blue. And I had a family member who ran into a particular situation late at night. A warrant was put out for his arrest. And this is the time when we only had flip phones, so there was no video available. And I had a young man call me, said he had that family member in the truck with him. And I told him, by the grace of God, the only place I could think of was to go to turn this family member in was the mall. Because I knew they had video cameras. And while that thought crossed my mind, I still don't know why it happened to this day. But I did that because I was concerned and worried because of the subject that you're speaking of this individual who was not right in the head at that particular point in time, of his life possibly been taken. And I made it a point upon myself to actually turn that family member in to the police with a third party, that being the security guard at the mall. And that was 15 or 16 years ago. And the reason I did that is I was terrified of the thought that the mental state that individual was in at that time would produce an outcome that I would be heartbroken with. I am saddened where this country has gone with the military state of police that we have.
Well, and it's a honey trap that's been set because the problems were not dealt with along the way. It is built to a crescendo. And it's just mystifying to so many politicians and people as to how we got here. I mean, I come on, man. This stuff didn't happen overnight. It was something to be ignored because it didn't fit their political agenda or re-election campaigns. Bunch of chicken crap people that claim to represent all the people that see problems in our society and our country and absolutely do nothing until it blows up in their face and then they want a fire extinguisher. Amazing.
Well, the problem is that fire extinguisher they're looking for cannot quench this in a matter of 72 hours.
No.
Like you just stated, this has been developing over period of years, the no-knock warrants at the wrong locations.
And JR, I'm running out of time here. Have you heard me make the point about the SWAT teams?
For
the reason that it was even stated in the Supreme Court case that, well, we allow these cops to do this because we don't want the suspects destroying evidence. On what crime did they commit that they're able to destroy evidence? How big of a criminal were they? And the reason's given, well, you know, evidence, if they're drug dealers, they can destroy the evidence. You know, we're not talking about drug dealers moving 50 bales of pot here or 25 kilos of heroin or cocaine. You can't flush that stuff. And then rather than just having, you know, the Gold Shield individuals that do the tracking and the tracing in a legal and lawful manner to get the guy, He's got to come out of the house to go buy a Slurpee or a 40-ouncer. He comes out of that house eventually, and then you go arrest him. You don't have to bust into a private abode with other people that aren't on that warrant. They're going to die. This was a bad idea from the start.
And I've actually had that particular situation happen in my neighborhood where I was awoke by a SWAT team shooting the grenades in my next-door neighbor's house just because he was an illegal immigrant selling drugs and selling drugs only. But you're talking about there was a number of personnel on the ground exceeding 30 people because that whole SWAT team loaded up in a basic panel truck, and I counted 19 before I quit counting.
And let's examine the reasons why that might have happened. They came waltzing across this border into this country. A drug network was set up by the Hondurans and some Mexicans to put distribution by way of gang members in every major city across this country. But when they're finally caught and busted, they're given a ticket to show up for court. They're not immediately jailed and deported. I don't want them in my jail. I don't want to make the taxpayers pay for this illegal. Just get them the hell out of the country. No. They've got to come in next door to you so these guys can perform their
I am the judge.
This is poppycock. There's cause and effect for everything that's going on in this country, and people don't want to address it. Just as a story, I'm not going to get around to the Supreme Court telling Donald Trump, you know what, you're going to have to eat that DACA thing. We're not changing anything. They were illegal in the country, but that doesn't matter. It is such a convoluted judgment coming out of this Supreme Court that it's almost, you would think that it's a hoax, but it's not.
Well, you're exactly correct. It makes one perplexed and not trying to even have an understanding of what is going on in this country and its legal system. And we are losing it day by day by day.
Well, you know, the good part about that, JR, it's leaving those that didn't get involved before less and less of an excuse and a reason, because it's coming and knocking on a door near you. And we've always said this, when are people getting involved? Well, when it affects them. It's going to affect them each individually one way or another. And let's see how they try to downplay that one. JR, I've got to run. Thank you, my friend.
John.
All right. Chris in Vegas. Chris, please be brief.
Well, thank you, John. As you know, I'm a former multi-jurisdictional law enforcement professional, a peacemaker. And I can tell you I've done quite a bit of due diligent research, law books of the attorneys to find out what's happened to this country. When we know that the communist so-called American Bar Association was brought into this country as a secret warring force. Yes, they may have played nice for a while, and there are still some very good counsel out there. I don't dispute that. But these terrorist black robe judges who are political activists and terrorists sitting on the bench making these American Constitution-destroying rulings of the rule of law to the rule of militant mercenaries masquerading as public servants out there, putting all of us in a clear and present danger to the national security, we must return the courts to the people and get these bar attorneys out of there. Yes, they can be schooled in the law. I'm pretty schooled in the law myself. I've studied it very, very deeply. And this is why I find it so appalling that these judges are making these rulings that you were reading multitudes of before, that are antithetical to constitutional limited government that we believed we were living under in this country.
I couldn't agree with you more, Chris. And it's not going to stop. This is not going to stop. The problems are going to intensify. There's going to be more of a howl and a call for people to take action, and you're going to see more draconian measures taken. And the Constitution, the hell with the Constitution, this has to do with your safety. And people that are not qualified to make judgment and policy, and they're just going to shove that down our throats, and there's your law today. As far as I'm concerned, all nine chief justices of the Supreme Court, they can take a permanent hiatus.
Yes, sir. These are rump Supreme Court justices. They're extreme court justices. They're political activists and terrorists. The chief of the Robertson, he has compromised the max. He was probably on the Lolita Express or had some of their child pedophile pictures of him dealing with little boys or girls. That's how they got him to change his vote on Obamacare. And this is the problem. This labor age by Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell and others of getting these people compromised so they can control them like puppets on a string has got to come to an end. Can we not have actual objective justice in America? Hold these abject criminals, pedophiles, perverts, reprobates, and mass murderers to accountability?
Do you realize what you're suggesting, Chris, that everybody deserves to put up a defense, and you're going to need a lawyer for that.
Well, how about let's defend ourselves instead of having to hire a mouthpiece to spin lies to try to free us from our responsibilities like Hillary Clinton did to that one that they raped that little girl to death.
Chris, have you noticed that less and less of Mr. Alan Dershowitz has been showing up on Fox News? Candace Owen has been all but eliminated, and she's the only person that I really have any desire to listen to. But Alan Dershowitz being tied so closely to Jeff Epstein, isn't it amazing? We're seeing less and less of Alan Dershowitz when we, the general public, interested in truth and transparency and the rule of law, not their democracy, do our own research without the benefit of quote-unquote qualified investigators with, God, with all the perks and the benefits and their overpayment. I mean, we can dig up more about an individual and present it than they're willing to do. They're not doing their due diligence. They're not doing any background research. They're not doing squat. The only thing they're proving is the script that's being handed to them. And that includes Fox News.
They're stage actors, and they're lining their pockets at our expense and the experience of the American people. This country's going downhill very fast. That's why I got out of law enforcement back about 86. I saw the direction it was going. I had conscience about what was happening, and I didn't approve. And now I've survived two attempts to murder me. So that's what I get as appreciation for trying to bring return.
Well, at least they thought enough of you to try to kill you. That should tell you something.
Oh, yeah, I'm high on their list, that's for sure.
All right, hey, look, I got to run.
John, God bless America.
Thank you. Folks, we need your help and support. I've not been making a big deal out of it because I'm extra sensitive about people who have been displaced from their jobs or maybe their business. But we will not survive. This network will not survive without your help. So please make a strong consideration of the amount that you're going to donate. Not if, but the amount that you're going to donate to this network. Let's phrase it in non-lawyerly ways. We need your help. Help us. We'll see you tomorrow.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the risk.
Red Pill.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.